Let's take you first to France, where the government and the Vatican are in a standoff over whether the state can stop the church sacking a nun. An employment tribunal ruled recently that the church had improperly removed a nun from her community. The Vatican has protested the decision. It calls it an infringement of religious liberty. But in this stoush, not everything is as it seems. Dr. Gemma Betros specialises in French society and religion at the Australian National University. Gemma, welcome. What's it all about?
It's about a 57-year-old woman called Sabine de la Valette, who was a member of a Dominican religious community in Brittany in France's northwest. And in 2020, she was expelled from her community following a formal visit from two Vatican representatives. And she was actually later dismissed from the religious state itself via a signed decree from the Vatican. So this is all quite dramatic stuff. She took the case to a French civil court and claimed that she had been fired without cause. Her lawyer argued that the Vatican had violated French labour laws, that the nun hadn't been informed of the reason for her expulsion, nor given the chance to defend herself. And all of this is really interesting because it seems to be the first time that a civil tribunal has applied French labour laws to an ecclesiastical matter like this.
So the French court considers this a labour rights case. They're not trying to meddle in the religion of this order.
Exactly. So the court is treating it as an employment case, as a disagreement between employer and employee. They agreed that Valette's dismissal was unlawful, and they actually ordered her community to pay a considerable amount of money, over 200,000 euros, to her in recognition of the material and moral damages that she had experienced.
Yeah, apparently Valette said, look, I am not morally or materially prepared for this. Basically, she was arguing she was being thrown into poverty, is something like that.
Exactly. And if you look at the circumstances under which she was asked to leave, it was pretty horrific. She was only given a few hours' notice. She wasn't allowed to take anything with her. And she received no support or financial aid. Her family were not even informed. I think she ended up finding housing in another abbey and then another monastery. But she was really thrown out quite unceremoniously. And for me, this is very interesting because this is something that has happened previously in French history as well.
Interestingly, though, Gemma, at first glance, people might think this is a case of the French state stepping in to somehow aid, you know, a liberal-minded nun who's distanced herself from a conservative church. Could we be mistaken there?
I think we are very much mistaken. It's a very, very complex case, and facts are only just really coming to light. So originally the issue was presented as almost a doctrinal disagreement. Actually, I think it was concerning the writings of Thomas Aquinas. The nun in question had apparently had a disagreement with another nun over how to interpret the writings of Thomas Aquinas. But what emerged was that this was a symbol of a much greater rift. So the community was founded in 1943, and really a fundamental part of its identity was its opposition to the changes brought by the Second Vatican Council. Around 2010, some of the community decided it was time to move forward and perhaps accept some reforms and modernize. And another part of the community really resisted any change. So we had these two groups emerging, and a lot of discord and trauma resulted from this conversation that was happening within the community. And it seems that Valette's dismissal may have been very closely tied to this rift.
And Ms. Valette, as I understand, when she was a nun, she was in fact the superior of this order, and she was very ultra-traditionalist. Is that right?
I have heard it contested that she was superior. I've not actually seen it confirmed either, but she does seem to have been leading the ultra-traditionalist group within the order. There is also suggestion, however, that to deal with this, and the Vatican has been aware of this case for many years and has tried to implement different techniques to bring about more harmony. It seems that some of the methods used to overcome these disagreements were quite unorthodox. And so there have been whispers of things like forced exorcisms, unauthorized exorcisms, and some quite unorthodox psychotherapy techniques, which have perceived by some of the women who they were tested upon to be quite damaging. So there's a very, very complex and possibly quite scandalous story here. And I think we're only sort of just beginning to learn a little bit about what was really going on here.
Yeah, those sorts of stories about exorcisms, they probably immediately raised a red flag in the Vatican, at least in the Vatican under Pope Francis, because he sent in a cardinal to try to sort this matter out. Are we now looking at a church-state standoff in France?
Yeah, look, that's a really interesting question, because France obviously has quite a tradition throughout its history of tussling for power with Rome. And since 1789 in particular, there has been this real fear about the church exercising too much influence in French society. But I think this case is actually of far more interest as an example of the Vatican's somewhat heavy-handed actions where female religious communities are concerned, because this is not an isolated case. So just to give a few examples, in 2018 in Italy, the Vatican expelled two nuns from their community on the grounds of disobedience. It had wanted them to leave their monastery, and they refused. And around the same time, there was another case in France where a community of 34 nuns threatened to renounce their vows in response to the Vatican's effort to replace their superior against their wishes. As an outside observer, I find these cases really interesting, because I wonder if they're a way for the Vatican to show that it does still exercise considerable control within an institution that is known to experience many internal rifts and challenges. The question to ask in these cases is, would the Vatican have acted this way if monks or priests were concerned?
So what's the deep history here, Gemma, which I believe goes even further back than France's declaration of laïcité, or official state secularism, at the start of the 20th century? What's the deeper history?
Yeah, that's a really good point. So during the French Revolution, the French state actually nationalized all church property and then went on to try and eradicate organized religion altogether from French society. Napoleon brought back the church with the Concordat of 1801, but with the intention that it remain under the state's control. And he really emphasized that point when he kidnapped the Pope in 1809. But the laws of 1905 did formally separate the church and state in France. So there's a really complex relationship there. And this case with the nun is really going to play into some of those lingering issues.
Despite that culture of laïcité, though, isn't France, even with its quite low church attendance, still a very culturally Catholic place?
It is indeed. And as much as laïcité rests on denying the ostentatious wearing of religious symbols, I mean, you only have to walk around Paris to see that it does have a long Catholic history. It's imprinted on the city itself. But France's identity as a nation, and also to a degree how it functions as a nation that is so culturally diverse, does rest on the tradition of laïcité, which in turn comes from the idea, and this dates from the revolution of 1789, that religion is a private matter that the state won't interfere in as long as it doesn't trouble public order. And this case is interesting because the Vatican has raised concerns about the way that civil tribunal has interfered in what is essentially a private religious matter. The fact that it did so is interesting because this is something that certain Catholic theorists in the 19th century predicted. They thought that the separation of church and state was potentially useful because it could be weaponized in cases of state interference. And this is effectively what we're seeing happen here in the Vatican's response. But I think that lawyers would argue that there's no reason why canon law should have a higher status than French law any more than the rules of any other private organization. So this case is, again, it comes back to an agreement between an employer and an employee. And the tribunal in this case has defended the employment rights of this nun.
Very interesting to speak with you, Dr. Gemma Betros. She's an honorary lecturer at the Australian National University. Thanks for joining us on the program, Gemma.
My pleasure, Andrew. Thank you.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.